Good morning, church. Oh, let's make a noise that people will know because this has been recorded. So let's make an amen that will stay as a witness. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Yes. Let's let people hear that we are here. In our bulletin, before we heard anything from anyone about what will be the plan for this Sabbath, the Lord asked us to speak about this subject. So we look for something to put on the bulletin cover, and we found this door, and we found the chains on the door. And there was a lock there, but I decided to take the lock out because the lock was made too modern. So I wanted you to visualize a door. Now let's imagine that this is the door of your church. In the last days, that this is something that is being prophesied that it will happen. And you know that the church is just a building when we talk about the door. But it's also us when you talk about individuals. So think about this as we go through the topic today. First, happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy Abba's Day. This is the day that the Lord has made for us to do. To be happy, to have joy, all right? So, the topic for today, the shut door. When I first came to the United States, I came to study. And so I applied for a student visa. I was granted a student visa. I went to Florida, Tampa, Florida. And I started to attend a high school for adults, so that I could, take English classes. But then they told me, no, you have to take all the classes. You know, science, math, everything else, because this is a high school. This is not English school. So I started taking all the classes, and I realized that there were those people there, all, and I say this in a kind way, all gringos, and they were all there, and that is the English is their language. They were there taking the classes. And I realized that some people were not using the school as an opportunity to improve their lives. They are just passing through. They are there because they have to be there. And sometimes people have this kind of attitude. They are in places because they have to be there, not because they want to be there. So the question is, sometimes there are doors that are closed, not because somebody closed them on us, but sometimes we close them ourselves. So I decided that even though I already have a high school, I have already college, I decided that I'm going to apply to myself like this is. And we did well with the classes. And but then we have to move because my goal was to come to get my master's degree and continue my education. So I moved to California because my auntie used to live here in La Sierra. So before La Sierra was Loma Linda also. And I applied. And they said, oh, you have a visa? Yes, I have my visa. So they send the papers to immigration. And immigration said, we could not find your papers. So we made another application. We sent another application. And the response was the same. We cannot find your papers. I said, you cannot find the one that I sent first or the one that I sent second. We cannot find your papers. So I filed a third time. And the response came, we cannot find your papers. So I realized, is there something that I'm putting in application that is making these people lose my papers on purpose? Because no matter how the system is, there is a limit when things are no longer coincidence. So I realized maybe something that I'm answering all the questions. They said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. What the faith? I said, I'm Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And they asked me questions about if you are a citizen, you do this. I said, no, I will not because my faith not allow me to. I said, maybe that's what makes them lose my applications. Finally, the Loma Linda intervened, the lawyer and everything else. Oh, we found your papers. So I got the visa and I started studying. I got my degrees and everything else. And then came the time when I decided to apply for citizenship. After I got my green card, and again, I have to fill the applications. Would you bear arms? I said, definitely not. I will serve. I'll put on a uniform to be a medic or a chaplain, but I will not bear arms. And I lost my papers. I'm not joking. We lost your papers. I put another application. We lost your paper. I went to Riverside to the immigration department. I says, I'm going to hand you my paper myself so to make sure that you don't lose my papers. So I hand to them. After I stay hours and hours, we had to go like 5 o'clock in the morning, stay out for hours, and finally I gave them my papers. And then I received my mail notification that you have to go to Mexico in order for us even to consider. I said, why Mexico? I have never been there. I'm not a Mexican. He says, but you have to go. In other words, they were find every single way to get rid of me. I don't know why. And then I realized it could be that a person who is a Seventh-day Adventist, a person who will not bear arms, the person who will not work on the Sabbath, the person who will go to a Seventh-day Adventist institution, why do we want this individual here? You'd be amazed that in many cases in life, people put a mark on you just because what do you believe, what do you choose not to believe. And so sometimes there are doors that will be closed to you, not a fault of your own, but just because what you stand, what you are. Sometimes it could be because you're a female. Sometimes it could be because you're a senior. Sometimes it could be because of the color of your skin. It can be many circumstances, but there will be doors that will be closed to you, not because of your fault, but because somebody else will make that choice. And as a Christian, as a Seventh-day Adventist, you must say this to yourself, I'm not from this world. There's nothing here that should modify what I stand for. I'm passing through. I'm just passing through. This is not my home. This is not my place. I was not created to be here. I'm passing through this mess because sin has caused this, but my Savior is going to clean up, and when He cleans up, I will be standing right beside Him. So I'm not from here. Adam and Eve, they belong in a paradise. So do we. We belong in paradise. But they chose to make a bad choice and they closed the door on themselves. God created the world, created a beautiful place, perfect place, gave them everything. And yet, they chose to lock the door themselves when they were outside. I don't know how many of you, have you ever locked yourself out or left the key inside the car? And there are so many people making this mistake that now the cars come in such a way that they try to stop you from locking. You know, and I have a car now that if I leave the car, the key out inside, the car will not lock. Yeah. So some of you may have this. They had to make this because there were so many people. And Brother Joe Kisaka had a good business with a lot of people that leave their keys inside of the car, right? Yeah. They have always called to go in, unlock my car. Same thing at a house. Sometimes you pull the door, but you do not close. You got to go to get the mail. And the wind comes from somewhere, like close the door on you. Now you're locked outside. It has happened to me before. I have to look at all the windows to see. I don't know how the thieves get in so easily. I try so hard that I couldn't get in inside of my own house. So those things do happen. People do lock themselves out. And Adam and Eve locked themselves out of the Garden of Eden. God dressed them out before he sent them out. God did not close the door. So please do not go through your life thinking that God closed the door. God never have closed the door on anyone. He never will. We close the doors. We make choices, and sometimes we pull the door right behind us. We make the separation between us and God. God never does. Just the opposite, the Bible says clearly, I am the door. He's always willing to open that room for us, that space for us. Now, do you know who this individual is, right? Yes, we have a Noah here too, but this is a different Noah. This Noah spoke for 120 years. His message was about one single subject. What was it? The door. His whole thing was about the door. He says, the door is still open. The door is still open. The door is still open. And the door was open. And for 120 years, they says, the door one day we're going to close. And the people look at them. They had a good time. They were laughing. This cuckoo, this individual, loco de la cabeza, you know, he's out of his mind. He's saying he's going to come out of water out of heaven. It never happened before. It's never going to happen. And he kept saying, the door, the door. One day, when everybody was laughing, have a good time, they saw this strange thing happening. The animals, they start coming from everywhere. You cannot see from there, but if you have a very good eyes, there are birds there on the top too, flying. The birds from everywhere, without anybody that they could see, guide them. But the angels were guiding them. Okay, they were being guided to the door. Isn't that a big lesson for us? If the animals can find the door, how come we can't? We're supposed to be the smart ones. But no, they were laughing. They were making fun and everything else. And the day came. That day came when finally not Noah. Remember, it was not Noah. An angel came and closed that door. And the rain came. And a lot of people say, whoops. And they knocked. They knocked. Noah, open. But they could not anymore. By the way, the Bible says, Jesus Christ himself says, as were the days of Noah, is going to be by the time when the Son of Man comes. They were all preoccupied with the daily things. Buying, carrying more things, and coronavirus, and everything else. They were worried about all the things. But not the eternal things. And the flood came. And the door was closed. And they all perish. Now, because I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, every topic that I preach, I find one way to introduce the Sabbath there. So here is the what the Sabbath has to do with the door also. Do you know that every week the Sabbath is actually a door? A door to access to Abba. Every single week, the Sabbath is a door. If you keep it, the door is closed. If you worship, the door is open. If you keep it holy, you see God's presence and you enjoy God's presence because the door is open. But if you let yourself be preoccupied with other things that has nothing to do with the blessed seventh day Sabbath, then that door also you close. Some people sometimes they are thinking about the day of the time of tribulation. They don't realize that every Sabbath is practiced for the time of tribulation. Because if you can be with God when there is peace, you be with Christ when there is crisis. But if you cannot even keep you know, even keep observe the Sabbath in a time of peace. I can tell you right now, please, you can write this down. You're going to call me a prophet someday. Write this down. If you do not, if you have a trouble observing God's principles now, when the time of crisis comes, you will not be here. You won't be here. So please, make sure that you remember, you remind yourself this, the Sabbath is a door. The Bible talks about the 10 virgins. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. The 10 virgins you find in Matthew 25. If you open your Bibles, I'll put the text on the screen. But it just for practice, if you want to open your Bibles and follow in your Bibles, please. Now, the picture, you have one young lady as a symbolic of a virgin. Then there is a bottle of oil, and there is the lamp, and there is the Bible. Okay, so this is the symbolism that you see there on the screen. Now this is a lamp, a very simple that everybody could have. Even the poorest of the poorest would have this kind of a. They took clay and folded, and then they put close to the fire, and it will become hard. And in order to mix the clay, sometimes they will put some straws to make it firm, and that's how they will shape. I know this because you're not going to believe I didn't live in a house that we use this. No electricity, so I know very well. So here is what they put the oil inside, and then they just put this string and light, and the string keeps burning the oil as the oil goes and burns. And this is with the oil is much better because it doesn't dark the walls. My grandmother used kerosene, and the problem with kerosene makes such a strong smell. That thing is not even healthy for you, but when you're poor, you don't think much about health. You just think about eating, sleeping. That's basically. And so when she used kerosene, the walls will become very so black. And my grandmother was such a clean lady. The floor was dirt. It was not cement. But she had this special clay, white clay, that she would go to the river and pick and bring home, mix with water. And she would put it on the floor, and she would put it on the walls, and her house was so clean, almost like heaven. And she lived all by herself. And then I came to live with her. Even though she was all by herself, you believe that if you walk in her house, you believe that the floor was cement. But it was no, it was just dirt. But she put some, sometimes she would take a cow manure, mix with some water or something, and put it on the floor too. It didn't smell bad. But she'll find a way, they found a way to keep their house clean. So she used lamp like this too. This is a more sophisticated one. This has, you can put it in both ends there. Here's another one, a better, more, and this is what they used to do. They put it inside, and then they light, and that's what it looks like. Now, they use oil, and oil, it was not that expensive because everybody produced. This is another type, a little bit more sophisticated. This one even have a handle. This is another type. And this is another type. I'm talking about the Bible. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do you have a light that goes on in your house every day? Or do you use to light your lamp only on the Sabbath? Psalms 119, 105. Then the kingdom of heaven it shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps. How many?
10.
Honestly, I don't know why Jesus used 10, but 10 was a very common number among the Jewish people, so they used 10. But you notice after you read the whole story, that is the point that it's making is basically there is one. There is one that is, and there is one that is not. So the one that is not is not. So actually, basically, if you understand what I'm trying to say, the five is symbolic of one, the one who makes the right decision. The other five is the symbol of the one who does not make the right decision. Basically, it is 10, but it is between one who makes the right decision and one who does not. So let's see what it says. And went out to meet the bridegroom. So what was the purpose for them to have the lamps? Because in case that the bridegroom will come during the day, they did not need the lamp. Isn't that the implication? The implication is that they need in case that he comes at the night. So you have to be prepared no matter how much you believe that it's not going to happen. Oh, it's not going to happen now. Jesus is going to come maybe 10 years from now, 20 years from now. You do not know if you'll be alive 10 years from now. For everyone that I spoke before that believed that Jesus Christ was going to come 10 years from now, they're no longer here. They are gone. So what happens to them? The moment that they wake up, Jesus is right there as a judge or as a friend. So it's very important for us to live every day, trim our lamps every day to have enough oil every day because the bridegroom is coming. Anybody here knows how many times the Bible talks about the second coming of Christ? You said 2,000? You get close. Over 2,500 times. And the question is, why would God talk so much about something if it's not going to happen? Or the other way, why God talks so much about something, it is because it is the greatest event that ever will happen in history. And there is one very special thing. You are invited to be part of it. The greatest part ever in history. There will be never another party afterwards. There have never been one before. And you are invited for this. Are you already looking up for a good dress to be ready for that day? Are you dressing yourself? Are you making preparations so that you don't miss that day? Next, it shows here all the 10 virgins. Look what happens. Now the five of them were wise. By the way, thank God we always have wise people in church. Amen?
Amen.
I want to hear the wise. Where are the wise? We always have wise people in the church. Where are they? Amen.
Amen.
And there are some foolish. No, don't hear anything, right? Silence. What is the difference between the wise and the foolish? It says both of them were virgins. It says they all have lamps. All their lamps has light. So they are look like they all are the same. What made the difference is the choice that they made. What discerned between what is foolishness and what is wisdom is when they prepare themselves. They gave themselves an extra portion of oil. I'm ahead of myself here. Those who were foolish took their lamps. Okay, this is the lamp. All 10 churches, I believe they were all Seventh-day Adventists. I believe that all 10 churches were Seventh-day Adventist churches. They all have the word. They all have the Spirit, all of them, because they have oil. But the difference is between one and the other is that and took no oil. One church decided to live according to what they had. And they did not put anything extra in preparing for the last days. These people compared to, here I'm going to put myself in trouble right now. But because you are forgiving church, I'm going to dare to say this. There are a lot of people that come to church every Sabbath. They return tithe, they give offerings and everything else. Sometimes they come to prayer meeting. But if you ask them, what does Seventh-day Adventist stand for? What do we believe? They have no idea. This could be the case of most of us in some extent. We are so comfortable thinking that tomorrow is going to be like to yesterday. And one example of this crisis that is going on right now teaches us that for things to change from 100 to 0, it takes just 1 or 2 minutes. This crazy world of ours. Don't you think that this things that is happening is a good opportunity for us as Seventh-day Adventists to wake up and realize how vulnerable the whole system is? Don't you think that this is a... And by the way, I'm not the type, and you know me for quite a while already, I'm not the type to scare anybody to get yourself so scared. I'm going to use this coronavirus. I'm going to exploit this. I have too much respect for you to exploit fear to try to make you change. Because if you change because of fear, you change not. You have to change because of principle. Principle should motivate you. Fear should not. Because whatever fear takes over, faith goes. And if there is no faith, your fear is good for nothing. We are not here to teach you that because this is going on right now, please be scared and go home and memorize all 28 beliefs and come here and impress everybody with because you memorize everything. That's not my purpose. And I don't think God asked me to stand before you today here and try to scare you into a decision. Because anybody who is motivated for the wrong reasons, they never find Christ. And not only that, but when persecution comes, they become the worst enemies of the faithful. From inside comes the worst enemies. The people that are sits right beside you today could become the worst enemy in the last days. So how do you do? You needed to know what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist. You need to know what it means to be that virgin, the wise one that has the lamp and has trimmed the lamp and has oil. You need to have oil, because if you have only the lamp, you have no oil, the lamp will go out. So you need oil. So they took no oil with them, and that was the problem. They were so much rely on a little bit that they have, they were not motivated to have more. By the way, we need to be a little bit more greedy as far as knowledge. Know nothing about money, but as far as knowledge, we should be a little bit more willing to invest. But the wise, they took oil. The foolish did not take oil. The wise took oil. That's what made them wise. And because they did not take oil, that made them foolish. Are you taking oil? Are you going around with some extra portion of oil? Are you carrying your lamp with oil? But while the bridegroom was delayed, was he delayed? Is the return of Christ being delayed? You hear people inside of our church that say, oh, God is delaying because he wants to save more. Be careful with that, even though that sounds nice, because that is theologically completely wrong. Because if the Lord is delaying his return because somebody else needs to be saved, people don't stop growing. You know, there are people are having more babies, and there will be always people. So that means the Lord will never come. Or he will cease to be gracious sometimes. So be careful. Sometimes we make some statement and think that we are so nice. It theologically is wrong for you to try to imply that God is delaying because God knows the day and hour, my Bible says. He knows the day and hour. And when he had that number that he knows, he will say, it is finished. It's time for me to go down and pick up that nice Vista church with me. It's time for me to go and choose my, bring my little ones close to me because I miss them. And I mentioned to you here before, I like one Ecclesiastes, one part, and I want you to find out where it is, okay? I'm not going to give you where, but this is kind of homework. It's just for the fun. I want you to look. One that says is, I am of my beloved, and my beloved misses me. Search that and make that as your text. I am of my beloved, and my beloved misses me. When I read those words, I think about Jesus Christ anxious to come for his bride. They all did what? Do you know what that means? I'm not saying sleeping here in church because sometimes people do. It says, and they all slept. How many of them slept?
All.
How many?
All.
All 10. Isn't that a negative thing that they all slept? No, it's a normal thing. But you see, if you're going to go to sleep, you better go make sure that before you go to sleep, you have enough oil and your light is on. That is the difference between, because they all went to sleep, but there is a difference. Five of them did not go to sleep without checking their lamps first. So they felt comfortable, and they were a natural process. They went to sleep because it's natural for humans to sleep after they are tired. They kept waiting. But here's the difference. They all slept. You see there? They all taken a nap because, you see? And then when you are in deep sleep, don't you hate when you're in the best sleep, somebody says, or the phone rings, it's, oh, it's when you enjoyed your sleep the most. They are sound asleep, and then here comes this individual yelling, it's time to get up. Right, Angel? It's time to get up. Like the young people when they're asleep. Mama, was my best, my sleep. This is what they call the midnight cry. Do you know why they call midnight cry? In the middle of the night. The middle of the night, in this context, it means when you're in the best of your sleep. In the middle of the night. So that is the moment that your sleep is the deepest. And probably you're even have some dreams. And that time when nobody expects, there is a cry. And what is the cry? My Savior is coming for me. My beloved is coming for me. This is the time that I wait for my entire life. Finally, redemption is here. Finally, I no longer have to wear glasses. Finally, I'm going to have my hair back. Finally, all the illness, all the diseases, all the suffering, everything is going to be history. Finally, everything that I dream and things that I have not even been able to dream about, it is all here. It is the greatest day of my entire existence, because it's the day that my eyes will be opened and I'll see that guardian angel that has been with me even before I was born, has been given by God to take care of me. But then something happens to that door. The yell and the midnight cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Behold, he is coming. Go out to meet him. Who? All that have been ready. But what about those that were not being ready? Oh, they will cry that day. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But what happened? I made there, I don't know if you can see. Some, the flame is very, very tall. Look at the other ones. The flame is, I think, but it's still moving. You see a tiny little one. So they still have a tiny little bit, but Noah's not enough. They had a little bit of their beliefs. They knew a little bit of the doctrine. They know, oh, I know we believe in, I think we believe in the Bible, in the Sabbath, and what else? The light is there, very little. Oh, I know, we believe this, we believe that. Oh, the lights are. So they were two groups. One that was ready, and the foolish said to the wise. I don't mean to be political, but I'm going to use this opportunity to say something. The foolish said to the wise, and by the way, this is true every day in every aspect of life. The foolish always tell to the wise, give us. Have you noticed the foolish is always entitled to something? Isn't that the way life is? The foolish always believe they're entitled to everything. Who gave them the right to say, give us? But I like the way the wise answer. Give us some of your oil. We didn't take care of our own. Now we want to use yours. For our lamps are going out. Oh, really? Why didn't you think about this when we start our journey all together? All 10 of us start walking together. You could have done before, but you chose not to. Now you want my oil? I can't. Look what they said to him. But the wise answer is saying, no. Some people look at this and say, that is not a compassionate, that's not a symbol of somebody who is about to be saved. Reality. There is a time in a Christian life that the best word that you may know is no. I noticed that some of you said yes. No. There is a time in our lives that the best word that we may have in our vocabulary is no. Let me make a pause here. I came to the United States and I study English a little bit, grammar, but never conversation. So I went to Miami, airport, that's where I arrived because it was the closest to Brazil, so the ticket was cheaper. So I got to there and I was going to Tampa, Florida anyway. So I got to Miami, and on the first floor, everybody's talking a language just like sounds like my language. So I could hear words as it sounds like Portuguese, but it was not. After a while, I realized that it was not. And I realized everybody's speaking Spanish. I thought I came to America, but everybody was speaking Spanish. So I felt like, oh, so it's not going to be that difficult. But then I went to the second floor. Not a single word in Spanish. Nobody, looks like the first floor, everybody spoke Spanish, but the second one, everything in English. And now I start sweating. Because now I says, how do I get out of this? Because the ticket told me that I have just a few minutes to get to another airplane to go to Tampa. So I pray, I put my back against the wall because everybody was happy, I mean faster, passing by and fast. And I looked at the ticket and it says Gatti, because that's the way I read. It's gate, but it says Gatti. Okay. And in Portuguese, gato is a cat. And Gatti, it sounds like a cat. But I says, they are not telling me to get to the gut 12. So I said, what in the world is this? I have no idea. And so I start panicking a little bit, and finally it says, you know, Lord, when I do all my best and it doesn't work, so I'm going to ask you to help me. So I ask him, Lord, help me, please. Two Brazilians passed by talking. And I said, it sounds like Portuguese. It's amazing when you're far away from your own country, even when you hear your own language, it doesn't sound like your language. So I said, could it be? So I started walking behind those two. Listen to what they are saying to try to see, is this really Portuguese? And then finally, I reach my, and do never do this, because especially especially in this day and age, to reach out. Yeah. But I did, and they look back, and I said, are you speaking Portuguese? What else do you think we were speaking? I said, well, I have this Gati 12 here. I have no idea where the Gati is. He said, oh, that's gate. And they said, portão. And a port, you know, portão is the door. And so, why didn't you put port? Because that at least it would be closed for me. It would be interesting. So he says, come with us. We are going to the same place. You're going to Tampa. Says, yes. Thank you, Lord. So we got to the airplane, and he said, you're going to sit here? Because I noticed that you said no smoking. We're going to sit in the back because we smoke. And here comes this lady, offer me some things. I have a principle in my life that since I became Seventh-day Adventist, if I have any doubt about anything, I say no. Because I better live without something that I should not have than to have something that I should not live with. So when they offered me, and I was hungry because I left Brazil, I haven't eaten anything since I left Brazil a day before. I was hungry as hungry can be. They offered me something, but I did not know how to ask. Is this has pork on it? So I have learned that a no in English is very close to no in Portuguese. So I said, even if I mispronounce, they know what no means. So they said, do you want this? I said, no. They offered me something. I said, no. I said, I'm going to play safe. I'm not going to eat something that I have no idea what it is. So I said, no for everything. So no was one of the first words that I learned in English. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, some of us know how to say no, and unfortunately sometimes we say yes when we should say no. They said no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. Wisdom, that's why they're wise. They made a calculation. It says, there was a time for us to be compassionate, but this time we cannot afford, because right now is to deny ourselves. We're all going to be lost. If I give them what I have now, we're all going to be lost. They says, I'm sorry, but what is ours, what is yours, yours. Why don't you go out and try to buy some? And you know why they are called being foolish? Because they believed that it was still time to buy some. And they went. That's why they are foolish. They didn't realize that the time was up. There was no more time. Because they already heard, the bridegroom is here. There is no time for us to go out and buy anything else. So the five came in, the door was open, and they came in. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in. Those who were ready went in. How many of you are ready to go in? And the door was shut. And the door will be shut. With you in or with you out? Today is the time for you to get another extra portion of oil. To make sure that when the time comes, when the door closes, when the invitation comes, you will be invited to come in to the wedding. It says, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding. But then came the foolish. And they knocked at the door. And they knocked. And how many of you had an opportunity to go to an event and get there and the door is closed, right? Oh, my car was not working. Oh, this, well, all the excuses. Sorry, we are closed. Sorry, we are closed. I hope that you don't hear this when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Afterward, all the virgins came also saying, oh, Lord, Lord, open to us. You know, they didn't say Lord, Lord before, but now say, oh Lord, 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 oh Lord, nothing. Why? Because it's too late. And then it says, but he answering said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Do you want to see what else Jesus Christ says? This in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, 23. He says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who does my Father's will. So what is my Father's will? Is to have the lamp with enough oil. That is doing God's will. If you keep doing God's will, then you be invited in. But some will say, but Lord, we have done this. We have performed miracles. We have cast out demons. We have all this power. We have big churches. And we have over 2,000 members attending on a regular basis our prayer meeting. We have 1,000 people attending our prayer meeting. We are a big church. We give more than $1 million in just food donations to the community. We have done all this. And read in verse 23 when the Lord Jesus says, I do not know you. The verb to know here, oops, that says my battery is about to be gone. The connector is inside my wallet there, please, my briefcase. See, it says that I should bring oil, so I have the cable here. Yes, just you connect there, please, first. This one is gonna be there. Thank you, brother. He's telling us it's time for us to close in also. Okay, do you see how the light went? There's power now, more light. We're almost done. This is an actual person. This is not a Photoshop or anything else. This is a person who drove, put all this in the car, probably made a lot of damage to the car because this is actual paint that painted the car. Can you read all this says in the car? Return of Christ, save the date. And you can look us at wecanknow.com. Which is a clear challenge to the Bible because the Bible says nobody will know. And then it says May 21, 2011. Right there it says Jesus is coming. What is the date? The date is right there. May 21. Yeah, you see there, May 21. This person was driving his car. You can see this person is very happy. And on the window, there is a scripture there also, advertising that Jesus is about to come. Jesus is coming. And May 2011, I don't know where it was, but I probably here in Riverside, I mean here in Escondido. And a few days from my girl's birthday, I know that Jesus did not come then. Time magazine had this sign. This was concerned about the year 2000. Remember, all the computers are going to collapse. There will be no electricity. There will be a chaos. There will be even wars. It will be the end, they say. Year 2000 came and nothing happened. I have a young person in my church, in my congregation, says, Pastor, I noticed that it's coming close to the year 2000. You have not preached about the return of Christ yet. And I said, you do not know that the 2000 years already passed because our calendar is 4 years wrong? He says, the 2000 already passed, my brother. You're 4 years late. And that happened. So that's why I know that it's not going to happen because we are living after already. And so then the New Yorker, also, this is 2009, they said, date on 2009, it says, the end of year sale. So somebody's taking advantage. Everybody's panicked. So they see the stores how they are selling toilet paper. And I have no idea what toilet paper has to about coronavirus, but they are selling all the toilet, everything. Everybody's concerned about the end. But the problem is not everybody has, every human being, even those that are not religious, they know that the end will come. Some people that do not believe in God knows that the end will come because everything around us goes to an end. You don't need to be wise. Everything around us ends up ending. So we know that the end will come. But the question is, are we ready for, are we saving the date? Not May 21st, but are we saving the date? Then somebody else said that it was 2012 if the end will come. There were people out there that said 2020 because it's 2020, that sounds like it's unique. So Jesus may come 2020. I had one person that I invited a few years ago that preached on this pulpit and told everybody that God has a special math. You see, if you read the Bible, it's 6 and the 7th is always the rest. So 6,000 years, the 7th is the millennium. So this is the time when Jesus Christ is supposed to come. When we become too simplistic about the math and we try to mold God according to our own understanding, we just get ourselves in trouble. And here are a bunch of them that got themselves in trouble. All those are pictures of people that are claimed to be experts on the date when Jesus Christ will come. There is a picture there that you may be familiar with. Do you know which one? Yes, right at the bottom there. He is one of them. By the way, we never should apologize for anything that William Miller did because he was sincere, misguided, but sincere. And out of his studies, something good came out. You are here, I'm here, as a result of all the efforts and dedication of these people. These people went through, they lost their money, they lost their farms, they lost everything else. They invested in something that they believed. They were disappointed, but the Lord Jesus Christ will be gracious to them. And when the day of resurrection comes, I have a strong belief that William Miller will wake up and see his beloved Savior. What is in this picture that you like the most? What I like the most about this picture, and the bottom, you cannot see from there, but one of them is me.
Amen.
Unless you're right beside me there, then you know that we are there. That's what I like about this picture. This picture will be meaningless unless I can see myself there. I see myself there. I hope you do see yourself too. But on that day or that hour, no one knows. But that is not an excuse for us to be careless. Just the opposite. Because nobody knows, therefore I must be prepared. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Some people do not understand this. What is the theology here? Why is Jesus saying that not even he knows when he's coming back? No, he's talking about in his humanity. This is when he was speaking. As human, I do not know, but I, as a divine, I'm coming. Because if you look in Isaiah 9, Jesus is called the Everlasting Father. So he is the Father. So he says, as the Son, mean as human, I do not know, but as Father, as Abba, I do know. That's what this verse is saying, okay? So please, sir, you just have a little brief theology class there. So keep your light on so that you be part of the bride when Jesus Christ comes. Take heed, watch, and pray is the device, for you do not know when the time is. Mark 13, verse 33 says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, when we least expect, it will come. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. There's something went there. The hand is supposed to be on top of it. So stay aware, for you know neither the hour. Stay awake. Yeah, stay awake, for you know neither the day or the hour. Matthew 25, verse 13. This lady here is actual. This is a true story. Every single day, she'll sit on a porch after she did all the things for her house, and also so help some with the grandchildren. She'll sit every single day, 7 days a week. She'll sit in the same place, open the Bibles, and read the Bible. So everybody will pass by, and they even clock themselves. It says, when grandma will be reading the Bible. When do you meet? After grandma or after? So they even, she was almost like a clock for everybody, because she was so precise every day with her Bible that people that passed through, even the neighborhood, they all used her almost like a mark. It says, after grandma finished reading her Bible, I'll meet you. Or are you meet before grandma? So they use her as a reference. Are the people around your neighborhood noticing there is something unique about you? Do they know that you are the bride of Christ that is waiting for the Lord to show on the sky? Do they know that you are one of the wise? The dragon is furious against us. So please, remain faithful. Keep God's will. Remember who you are. You have the testimony of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. Jesus Christ is about to come to take his bride home. Here is the patience of the saints. The word patience means we need to continue watching for that day. Trim your lights, carry the oil, the Holy Spirit, and make sure to keep God's will and the faith of Christ, because he is coming. Underline this in your Bible, Revelation 14:12. Mark this in your Bible. Read a few times, and also read Matthew 24, because that will keep always your light on. If one day you're discouraged, read a verse like this. Read Matthew 24, and know that the Lord is coming for his bride, and you are part of this bride, the bride of Christ, the family of Christ. I go and prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back. I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That is the goal of our beloved Lord. My brothers and sisters, are you planning to be there? Let the wise stand and let the foolish leave. Let the wise stand and say, Lord, I am blessed to be part of the wise. I'm going to trim my lamps. I'm going to put some more oil to it. I'm going to dedicate my life to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine, and his can be yours too.